I was with you tonight and heard the sermon, but there was not much said that was very vital to our truths, and I have no comments to make on the sermon." Luther was there also and was disappointed somewhat, for he rather expected the preacher to say some things that might have been beneficial to the souls of his hearers. "He will write you very soon, and he is very anxious to do so. Remember that I love you with a very great love, and that you are my chosen one to do this work, and that to no other man has such an opportunity and privilege ever been given, and you must not become a failure. So much is dependent upon the world getting the truths at this time, for men's souls are longing for the truth, and are, more, susceptible to receiving the same than ever in the history of mankind. So believe in my love and anxiety and permit yourself to get in close rapport with me. I will pray with you tonight, and you will realize some response to my prayers. When you pray tonight, believe that what you ask for will come, and you will not be disappointed. Well, as I told you, when I delivered to you the prayer, if you offer that prayer with all the earnestness and longings of your soul, it will be answered, and when the answer comes these material things will come also, for when you receive what that prayer asks for you will then be in possession of the kingdom of God, and these other things will be added to you. God knows what you need, and is always ready to bestow upon you these needful things, and when you become his true child, he will not neglect to give you these other things. He is more thoughtful and careful of his children than is the earthly father, and his angels are always ready to do his bidding, so have faith, and pray, and pray, and you will realize the wonderful responses that will come to you. I will not write more tonight, but again impress upon you the necessity of faith and prayer, and you must not forget that we angels of the Father are with you trying to help you. Good night. With all my love and blessings, I'm your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, Luke. I will say only a word, for I see how you feel and how important it is that you believe that the Master wrote you, and how certain it is that you can rely upon what he said. If you only knew how much he is interested in you, and how much love and care he is bestowing upon you, you would not for a moment doubt or lose faith in his promises. And besides, we are all with you in love and efforts to help you. So believe and you will not be disappointed. With my love I will say, good night. Your brother in Christ, Luke. I will say that we are all here, and heard what the Master said, and know that he wrote, and that you can rely on what he said. Let doubt leave you, and love and faith take possession of your soul. May God bless and keep you in his love, Paul, John, James, Luther, Barnabas, Samuel, John Wesley and John the Baptist. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, the messages have been rather unusual tonight. I mean the messages corroborating what the Master said, and they show you that you must not doubt or lose your faith in what has been written you, not only tonight but in all the past. 551, 26. Dr. Stone has written that his brother Harold did survive the battle although he was injured, but returned to his home and family in Toronto, Canada and lived until he was 80 years old. The Paget Messages 1917. You must also see how interested these spirits are in you, and in the work you must do, for otherwise you would never have received such messages. Each of those, whose names are subscribed, actually wrote, "I know them all, and saw them sign their names, and with each signature was a prayer that God would bless you, and give you a great abundance of his love." It is also wonderful that I am somewhat astonished at this great display of interest in you, and desire that you shall believe. So, my dear husband, believe with all your soul, and trust in the love of the Master, and his great desire to see you happy and free. I will not write more tonight, although I had intended to write my personal letter, but you are too tired to receive it. But you know how much I love you and how anxious I am to see you happy and filled with the Father's love. I love you and want you to love me. Good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. April 25, 1917. I am here, Saint John, Apostle of Jesus. Question: well, he answers the prayers for things material by the work and operation of his angels and spirits, and they in that work are subject to the limitations of success as I have above mentioned. God does not exercise any arbitrary power to answer prayers, but when they are sincerely offered to him, he works through his angels in answering them, and he does not by his mere fiat do so. His angels are always watching and working, and when the opportunity comes, they use their influence in the best possible way to bring about the ends desired. As you know, man has a free will, and that determines very largely the action of men, and such actions are never arbitrarily controlled by any divine power. If the prayers of men as to material things can be responded to by the workings of the angels and spirits, they are, but if such a response depends upon the will of men, then they are not received by mortals, except as the spirits may be able to influence that will and cause men to act in compliance with that influence, which is always used for the purpose of bringing about the response to the prayers that are, in their nature, proper and worthy to be answered. Question: well, I doubt if any of those petitions were ever answered in the arbitrary way that is related in the Old Testament. God never answers prayer in that manner, and the petitions of 552, the old prophets had no more influence to bring about the answers to the same, in the manner indicated, than have the prayers of the sincere and earnest man of these days. God was the same then as he is now, and worked through the spirits then as he does now, except that now he has angels of the soul development in the divine love, that he did not then have, and these angels are doing his bidding as well as are the spirits. But he does not answer prayers for material things except in a manner in consonance with laws controlling the free will and actions of men, as they may be operated upon and influenced by the work of spirits. Sometime I will come and write you a message on this subject of prayer and answer. But this I want to say, that we can at times understand what will happen in the near future, and having such knowledge, can tell to mortals what may be expected, or rather what will occur, and this we sometimes do. In your case, we all of the higher spheres, as well as many of the spirit spheres, know what your petitions have been in reference to these material matters, and we have been working to bring about a realization of the same on your part, not only because of your petitions, but because they are so necessary to the doing and completion of our work, and we have been using our influence to the utmost to accomplish this end. But as I say, we are all limited, and have not the power to cause the happening of any event by our mere willing the same, even though we are doing the work of the Father. This may seem surprising as well as disappointing to you, but it is a fact, and it is a great truth that God helps those who help themselves. Of course, you must not lose sight of the fact that while men must themselves do those things that bring about changes or happenings or phenomena in material things, yet we can influence, but not control absolutely, their desires and intentions, and their wills that put into operation or effect these intentions. No. These things, as to their immediate manifestations, are subject to the wills of men. God never by a mere act of the moment or of a physical character, places into the hands of any man riches or prosperity. These things must immediately be wrought and brought about by man, but man in doing this can and is wonderfully influenced by the workings of the spirits. The Paget Messages 1917. Well, that is a question that has caused men to doubt and consider and explain in various ways the so-called miracle of the loaves and fishes. As I was a disciple of the Master at that time, it is quite natural that I should be expected to state whether such a miracle ever occurred, and of course, I can state what the fact in relation thereto is. And notwithstanding that it has been used by preachers and teachers for many centuries to show the wonderful power possessed by Jesus, and thereby caused the people to believe in and accept him as God, or at least having God-like powers, and has been used to work much good among those who are seeking for the true religion, yet I am compelled and sorry to say, that no such miracle ever took place. While Jesus had wonderful powers, and understood the workings of the spiritual laws to a far greater extent than any mortal who ever lived, yet he had not the power to increase the loaves and fishes as is set forth in the account of the miracle. To be able to do so would be against the laws of God governing the material things of his creation, and also beyond and outside of the powers conferred on any man or angel by any spiritual laws. There are certain laws by which we who are acquainted with and use them and may cause a dematerialization of physical substances, and also may to a limited degree cause a materialization of spiritual substances, but I am not acquainted with any law that would have operated, under the control of Jesus, to increase the loaves and fishes to the great number mentioned in the story referred to. As a fact, I know that no such miracle took place, and Jesus will tell you the same. There are other full-edged miracles in the Bible that never had any existence as a fact. Well, I have written you a long letter tonight, and I must stop, but I am pleased that you asked me about the response to prayers, and the miracle of the loaves and fishes, for your questions gave me the opportunity, to some extent, to explain these matters. But, as to prayer, you must wait until I deal with it more at large or in detail before you conclude that you understand the subject fully. And I say to you, pray not only for the spiritual things which God bestows through His Holy Spirit, but also for the material things which He bestows through His angels and spirits. The proper prayer will be answered sooner or later, and your prayer for that of which I have written will be answered, even though to you the response may seem a long time delayed. With my love and blessings, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I am glad that John wrote you as he did, for it will give you an insight into some principles regarding the powers of spirits to help mortals that you may not before have understood. What he said is true, and I am glad that he wrote. It may prove a little disappointing to learn that spirits have not the powers to do everything, as mortals may suppose, but I do not want you to underestimate their powers, for they have great powers, even as respects the material things. Of course, they cannot move a house, or cause the wealth of one mortal to be removed from him and placed in the possession of another, but they can and do use great influence on mortals to cause them to do physical things that the spirits cannot directly do. Your prayers are not futile, even as to these material things that are subject to the control of mortals, for these very mortals are, under certain circumstances, subject to our influence, and thereby, control. When we promise you that a certain thing or things will happen, we mean that we will exercise our influence on mortals in such a way that they will bring about these happenings in response thereto. And you must not believe that when we promise you something that something, as a matter of course, will come to you. We mean that it will come to you by reason, primarily, of the work that we are doing among mortals. We can see some things before they have an existence in your physical world, and can tell you of the same. And some things we believe will happen, and also, tell you. And when they do not, we are disappointed as well as are you. Your own true and loving, Helen. April 26, 1917. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I see that you are very happy tonight, and I am so glad and want you to feel that you have around you other spirits who are glad also. I will not write much tonight, but commencing Sunday night I wish that you will commence to receive the messages that are waiting to be written you, and there are many, and of the greatest interest and importance. 553. The Paget Messages 1917. I was present when the broker was writing to you, and I want to say that he is very much interested in the work and will do everything possible to make it a success. We are all interested in this, for we understand the importance of it and what great results will follow your getting in the position that you so much desire. Have faith and you will not be disappointed. Love me and believe that I love you. Good night, my dear husband. Your own true and loving, Helen. April 30, 1917. I am here, John. I merely want to say that you are in a better condition tonight than you have been, and I should like to write you a message, but it is too late. I heard your conversation tonight, and was much interested in it. You and your friend have the right idea as to the manner in which the truths are to be made known to the world by preachers and others who may become believers in these truths and feel the call to make the same known. The great qualification will be the possession of the divine love. If this is wanting, the teacher has not that which is absolutely necessary to make his teachings a success. In good time all these things will be explained to you. So have faith that you will be placed in condition to do the work that is named. Good night. Your brother in Christ, John. May 1, 1917. I am here, Caesar. Yes, I am the spirit of that Roman who thought himself of so much importance, and then realized that he was a very insignificant spirit in his place in the spirit world. Well, I am glad to be able to write to you again, and especially so, as I can tell you that since I last wrote you I have progressed out of my hells and torment, and am now in the third sphere where there is so much love and happiness. Now this may seem a little surprising to you, but it need not, for you will remember that when I last wrote to you I informed you that I would then go with the beautiful spirit that came to me at your suggestion, and listen to his words of wisdom, as I now know them to be, and seriously consider what he might say to me. Well, I went with him and he was so loving and patient, and seemed to have such great knowledge of the truths of God that I not only 554, listened to him once but many times, and made a great effort to follow his advice. I commenced to pray to the Father for the inflowing of that great divine love of which the good spirit told me, and continued to pray until I felt its inflowing, and the effect on my soul was wonderful, for as the love came to me I found that the darkness left me, and also my sufferings, and with this love came knowledge of these truths of which I had been told, I mean a convincing faith that these things were true. When I commenced to have this experience I continued to pray the harder and all the longings of my soul and mind and of every part of me that could have a feeling or aspiration went from me, and I continued to pray without ceasing. As you may know, when on earth I was a very positive and striving person, and these characteristics I did not lose when I became a spirit, notwithstanding that I remained so many centuries in a state of stagnation and helplessness, for during all this time I knew of no goal to which I could aspire, and of no peace that was better than the one in which I spent the long dreary years of my spirit life. But as soon as I found that there was a future condition of light and happiness, I entered with all the energies of my soul to seek for that happiness. And as I was told that my progress depended so very largely upon my own efforts, I permitted nothing to interfere with my strivings for the obtaining of this divine love, and thanks to the loving Father, I at last found relief from my torments, and fullness of love that brought to me bliss and the companionship of beautiful and loving spirits. But I must not neglect to say that in all this effort on my part, I had the help and prayers of many loving spirits who seemed so anxious that I should get this love and become in harmony with the Father and his will, and now I am no longer the resentful and wicked Caesar, but a very humble and grateful child, for I am still but a child in the knowledge of the great truths of which I have heard so much, and in the love. Even now it is also wonderful to me that I can hardly comprehend just what it all means. But this I know, that whereas I was for many long centuries a suffering, unloving and unloved spirit, seeking only solitude and nursing my resentment, I am now a bright, loving and beloved spirit, seeking and never tiring of the association of these bright spirits, with whom I am now making my home. And besides these, higher and grander spirits come to me, and encourage me to strive and pray, and, the Paget Messages 1917, tell me of the wonders that are before me and which can be mine. I am of the last, but these spirits tell me that I may become of the first, and I feel that there is no power in all the hells that can, and no power in all the heavens that will prevent me from progressing and obtaining a home in the celestial heavens. I desire also to say that I have come to you many times when the spirits were writing you the wonderful messages of truth, and I learn from them many truths that I have tried to make mine, and which have helped me so much and revealed to me some of the plans provided by the Father for the salvation of men and spirits. You cannot conceive of the great number of spirits who are with you when these messages are being delivered, and how anxious many of them are to learn the truth and receive the help that these truths give of them. Many have found the light and happiness through the knowledge this conveyed to them, and further, through the help that these beautiful loving spirits give them, for it seems that whenever these spirits that are in darkness indicate a desire to learn the truth, these high spirits are always ready and anxious to teach and help and comfort the dark ones. I cannot explain to you how all this has not only astonished me, but caused me to regret that I let so many wasted years go by, without having sought the help of these spirits, for many a time they would come to me with their proffers of help and advice, but I would shun them and turn from them, not believing that they could help me. What a great mistake, and how I paid the penalty of neglecting this way to salvation. And I wish further to say that as a fact, if I had not come to you, through curiosity more than anything else, I would not now be in the condition that I am. for it was only after you talked to me and told me of the way in which I could obtain relief, and brought me in rapport with these spirits and advised me to listen to them, did I think of the possibility of my being rescued or being able to find any relief from my then unhappy conditions. And so I must express to you my gratitude for your kindness and, as you then told me, love for me. Well, I am a different Caesar now. I will not write more, but as I told you before, I shall come sometime and write you a letter of some of my experiences on earth and in the spirit world during the earlier years of my life as a spirit. So hoping that you will pray for me and give me your kind thoughts, I will say good night. 555, your true friend, Julius Caesar. I am here, Samuel. Yes, I am Samuel who has written to you many times before and expect to write you many more times in the future, as I have some messages that I desire to write regarding the higher truths, and I also want to communicate to you, personally, for I am much interested in you and your work, and the fact that you have been selected to do this work makes you an object of my love and care and causes me to desire to be with you in love and friendship. Well, tonight I will not write one of my formal letters, but will only say that you are in a much better condition than you have been and will now get in such a rapport with us that will enable us to deliver the messages as we desire. I have heard what the writer has just written you and know that what he says is true, and as your friend and brother I urge you to believe and pray to the Father with all the longings of your soul and with a faith that admits of no doubt. Many spirits are here tonight desiring to write and express to you the gratitude for what you have done for them and tell you of the progress that they have made, but of course they cannot all write. I will soon come and write. So believe that I love you and am your brother in Christ, Samuel. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Yes, dear, it was Caesar who wrote, and he is so happy and thankful that he can hardly contain himself in his desires to write to you. He is an earnest spirit now, and as he said, is striving with all the energy of his soul to obtain the love in more abundance, and I can see that he will progress very rapidly. Well, dear, you experience every few nights the result of the work and the redemption of some poor soul who has failed to seek for this love that only can make a dark and suffering spirit a bright and happy one in a short time. There is nothing like this love. It is all by itself and so easy to obtain, and always waiting for the longing and aspiring soul, either in spirit or man on earth. Your own true and loving, Helen. May 5, 1917. I am here, Jesus. I come tonight to write on the only way by which men can reach the kingdom of God and the way to the perfect man. The Paget Messages, 1917. This is a subject that many men and teachers have endeavored to explain to mankind, and the ways described have been as varied and sometimes contradictory as the thoughts and education of these men have differed, and all have sought to base their teachings and conclusions on the Bible. I, of course, mean those who profess to be Christians. As to other teachers and reformers, as they have been called, their teachings are based on the doctrines of the various sects to which they have belonged or professed allegiance. But the kingdom of God is more peculiarly a phrase that is found in and belongs to the Christian Bible, and to some extent in the Hebrew Scriptures. In considering the subject of this message, it is first important to understand what is meant by the kingdom of God. Some understand or conceive it to be a kingdom on earth in which the will and laws of God will be followed and obeyed by men in the mortal life, and others understand it to be that kingdom of God which exists and will continue to exist in perfection in the spirit world, and some few, that kingdom which will find its home or place of existence in the celestial spheres. Now, the way to each of these kingdoms is not the same, although in pursuing the way to one, the celestial kingdom, the way to the others must necessarily be followed. In other words, he who follows the way to the celestial kingdom pursues that course which, in its pursuit, will cause him to do those things and obey those laws of God that are necessary to establish the kingdoms on earth and in the spirit world. But he who pursues only the way that leads to the establishment of the kingdom on earth and in the spirit world, cannot possibly become an inhabitant of the celestial kingdom. The kingdom of God on earth, or in the spirit world, may be obtained by man, or spirit, by obeying the will of God in those essentials that will work a purification of his natural love, and cause that coming into harmony with his laws which affect and control man as mere man, that is, that will restore man to the condition of perfection that existed before the fall of the first parents. Many of my teachings when on earth, of which there are preserved number in the Bible, were intended to instruct men into that way of life that would develop their moral qualities and free them from the taint and destructiveness of sin in which they were then and are now living. By the observance of my teachings and sincere obedience to these moral precepts, man will lose those things that belong to his appetites and passions and evil thoughts and 556 desires, and realize that in their places will come a purer love and more spiritual desires and thoughts which lead to a cleansing of his heart and soul, and which means a living and thinking in harmony with the will and laws of God. For God is all good, and all his laws require that man shall become good in order that this kingdom in the spirit world shall be established. Naturally, and I mean according to his creation, man is good, and not the depraved creature that for so many centuries the teachings and doctrines of the Church have declared him to be. And when he shall arrive at that state of goodness that was his in the beginning, he will merely have rid himself of those contaminating appetites, thoughts and desires that made him the sinful and inharmonious being that he now. So, from this, you will see that the work of man, in order to enable the kingdom to become established on earth, is largely a work of renunciation. This truth was taught by prophets and teachers prior to the time of my coming to earth and teaching the way to the celestial kingdom. The same truth applies to the spirits that shall make up and establish the kingdom in the spirit world. In these kingdoms of the purification and regaining of the perfected natural love, there will be nothing of the divine nature of the Father, except as may be generally said, all the objects of his creation, by reason of being such objects, may partake of the image of the divine. But this is not the divine essence. The divine in its true sense is that which partakes of the very essence and nature of God, and not that which is merely the object of his creation. Man, in body, soul and spirit body, is only a creation of God, and, as to the soul, an image of its creator, but this creation was not made of any, the least part of the essence or substance of God. And this creation can, if it so please the Father, in its composite and coordinated existence, be utterly destroyed and reduced to the elements of which it was created, without in the smallest degree affecting the true substance or nature of God. So you will see that in truth there is in or of man nothing of the divine. Hence, when the kingdom of God shall be established on earth, or in the spirit world, there will be therein, nothing of the divine, only the existence of the perfect creatures, living and thinking in harmony with the laws of God which control their creation and existence. So the way in which these two kingdoms of the non-divine can be established, is by man, the Paget Messages 1917, pursuing that course of thinking and living that will enable him to renounce and get rid of those things, foreign to his true nature, which prevent him from coming again into the exact harmony with the will of God as expressed and made obligatory by the law of man's creation. The observance of the moral law will enable men to accomplish this end. The love with which man was endowed, as the perfect man, enables him, as it becomes purified and more harmonious, to love God and to love his fellow man as himself, for this natural love is one that in its perfection and nature is universal, and in its exercise every man is his neighbor's brother. The progressive qualities of this love which every man may obtain, are truly and wonderfully set forth by Peter in one of his epistles as contained in the Bible, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 5, 6, 7, and if men will seek these successive steps in acquiring the purifying development of this love, they will obtain the great object sought for. As I have written, the Bible contains many of my teachings which if followed, will lead to this end, and men will realize the kingdom of God on earth. And here let me correct one mistaken belief or idea that has so long prevailed among mankind, and which, in its results, has delayed the coming of the kingdom on earth, and the correction is, that God by his mere fiat, or irrespective of the desires and workings of men's souls, will not establish this kingdom. Its establishment depends upon men, themselves, and until their loves become and they become in harmony with God's will, This kingdom will never be established.